Hello again, and welcome back to Two Guys in the Neighborhood. I'm Bruce Carlisle. With me again is the Sage of Verona, Mr. Mark Popovich.
Bruce, what a beautiful winter's eve to be here.
It is nice. It is getting chilly again. We had that cold snap.
I love it.
It made us feel like we lived in some other place than Southern California.
Yes, getting down to the high 30s at night.
It was the high 30s in the morning when I was driving to work. It was a brisk 36 when I start my car in the mornings.
Absolutely. I like it, though.
It's just cold enough where I don't have to shovel anything, so I'm a fan.
Shoveling would be bad.
Ask Carl Pavano.
Oh, poor Carl Pavano.
Guy ruptured his spleen shoveling snow. I feel bad for him.
That's true. Well, people to feel bad for include our bachelorettes this week.
Oh, there's a few that.
We had two of the worst dates you could have been on.
This was not a great episode. Usually, if you can put it in segments, there's the date, the couple dates, and then the cocktail party.
Right.
And you kind of make it through each segment. And if the dates are kind of interesting, like the softball game a couple years ago or last year and some of the other dates, you get kind of excited. These dates were things you could do yourself, just gussied up a lot better.
Well, we had Selma, Mike Napoli's ex. She gets first crack at him getting a one-on-one date with Sean. And they get to fly a private jet all the way to Joshua Tree National Park. Is there anybody besides your wife who would be excited for this date?
No. And nothing against Joshua Tree. This thing films. Well, the other thing that I was covering, she was complaining about the heat.
And taking an Iraqi to the desert.
But here's the other thing, though. It's filmed after Labor Day, right?
Yeah, it's still warm out there.
It's not that warm. This was not a warm. This would not be considered.
It wasn't like August. It wasn't August.
So he does this to try to get her out of her comfort zone, right? Get her in some place where she's probably not used to, even though geographically, San Diego and Joshua Tree, not that far away.
No. By the way, outside your comfort zone, that's where the magic happens.
That's true. Now, let me ask you this. What's the most outdoorsy thing Mark Popovich has done?
In my life?
Yes.
I've hiked.
You've hiked.
Yeah.
So
I camped when I was like a little kid. Once.
Okay, comparing you to Selma, how similar and different are you guys?
I would say Selma and I are very similar. We're both indoors people.
Okay,
Selma and I are both indoors people.
But she hikes, she climbs to the top,
and she did the rock climbing. And by the way, she looked very good rock climbing. Like Sean had a very nice view the whole way up that mountain. I would say.
Well, is it more so than the cameraman that had not one, but two gratuitous boob shots as she was climbing up the mountain?
Yes, he did. And he loved every second of it. The thing that I was interested, they get all the way to the top, but how did they get back down?
Either walked down the backside, rappel?
I don't know. Like, I thought that was, we didn't get to see that. By the way, so then they go out to like their little after dinner where they have like the little like old streamline RV. Didn't they have this date on Bachelor Pad?
Thank you. That was exactly what I wrote down. Now, do you think they own the RVs now, or do they just rent it when it's RV time?
I think they leased with an option to buy and are now buying.
I think so too. Now, here's the other thing that so she basically cuddles with him for, we're assuming, hours.
At least a couple hours.
Now, there's only so much cuddling or getting to know you. What point in that date are you like, well, I'm turning in?
Yeah, not only that, but this cuddling isn't leading anywhere. She says, with her strict Arabic upbringing, she's not kissing him on national TV, which is a bold play to make.
I agree. Now, I feel like she was doing it better than the other girl that was trying to use it as a game like a couple seasons ago.
Right.
I can't remember her
name.
Yeah,
she was annoying.
Yeah, and she got bad. Yeah, I think she was being very honest. But here's the thing. Why leave Mike Napoli for this? If you're not going to kiss on TV and you're worried about the strict upbringing and your parents, then why are you on a dating show that involves a fantasy suite?
Well, I like that. That's a great question. I like she said that her mom wasn't really happy that she was on The Bachelor. I wonder if her mom was just mad at missing her free supply of Italian sausages.
At least you get tickets to some Angels games.
Tickets to some games, you know, I mean, all that kind of stuff. Or Rangers games. And then here's the thing that's interesting. Does she think she's dating Colin Klein? Does she have her former K-State football players screwed up?
She might.
Colin Klein famously did not kiss his wife until their wedding day.
What?
Yeah.
Why am I just hearing about this now?
You didn't read this. That was in the Big Sports Illustrated article about him that led to their curse.
I don't read many articles about college football, which doesn't surprise you. No. And I stayed away from reading the K-State one to avoid the curse for your sake.
It didn't work.
No, I'm not avoiding curses for you this whole year, apparently.
So anyways, yeah. So, you know, I think that was a really interesting strategy. I think she's definitely honest. And as somebody who's dated a Muslim, yeah. All right, I can tell you that this fear of the mom is a very real thing.
Okay, now this makes sense to me, but our Bachelor producers then come, either they must know this, and this is the worst date that's going out there. Because I'm telling you now, if Tierra's on this date, they're not in separate RVs.
Okay. If Sarah's on this date, they're not climbing a mountain.
True, and we'll get to that later, even though, oh my god, and that gets to a bigger point that I have further on about, okay. Like, we can't keep this going at every single step of the process, so we'll just close. They go to their separate streamlines.
Right.
They eventually get back home, I assume by driving.
I assume somehow, somewhere they make it there, yeah.
Okay, so we get to the roller derby date.
Which, by the way, my wife was like, if I was on The Bachelor, this is the date I'd be most super. Like, my wife, you know, she, one, her dream is to be in a fight.
Yes.
Like, she wants to be in a fight. And being able to be on The Bachelor and be able to knock people out, this was my wife's dream date.
Wow. I think she would have been amazing at this.
Yeah.
Because she is freakishly athletic. Like, yeah. Subtly, though. She wouldn't hit people over the head with it.
No.
But once they try to make that turn.
So they put Sarah on this date, okay?
But here's the thing. At this point, what activity can you do then? Are we only going to pick the dates that Sarah can and cannot go on?
I don't know. I thought they put her in a bad spot on this date. Because you do need balance. And not having two arms, it makes it really hard to balance on skates, I would imagine.
I'd imagine. And I guess when you're trying to knock people over, it is a disadvantage. But so she doesn't get a date this week because we deem this not good enough for Sarah?
That's a really good question. I don't know what you do in that scenario.
And I feel like they're trying to say, like, look, this can be a positive role model. She's out there doing things.
Yeah,
but
that's
true. I don't feel as if, like, either it's edited poorly, and I'm going to try to be the nicest I possibly can. I think it's edited poorly in the sense that they want her to say, we can do this, everyone's, you know, together, like, you should do this. And then she sees these things, and she's like, no, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And it takes being talked off the ledge and poor Amanda curbing herself.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, what was she going to do? Was she going to sit out, or was she going to try to do it?
I think they were going to get her to try to do it. But Amanda, let's talk about it. Amanda from Newport Beach, once again, not doing Newport Beach any favors.
I didn't think you could make Newport Beach look worse, but, you know, congratulations, Amanda.
I mean, it makes me long for the days of CDM. Let's bring him back.
I missed Corona Del Mar.
But so Amanda, she talked about how she was like, she had done this before. She was like basically lying and trying to get in everybody else's head.
Which isn't the worst strategy if you think you're going to go fly into each other.
Right, and then she goes out there and she goes kaboom and lands on her chin.
Yeah.
And they think she has a broken jaw, so she has to go to the hospital to get an x-ray, I assume. So she goes down. So instead of playing the roller derby game, they're just going to have a free skate like they're in seventh grade.
And
I was pissed.
I was mad too. Which
here's the thing. How pissed were the derby dolls that were there to train them?
You know what? I'm assuming slightly less because at the end of the day, they're still getting paid. It's the random people that were in the crowd. I don't know if you noticed the crowd in the background. Like,
yeah.
You would have paid to go see this event or, like, got tickets.
My wife was very mad that they decided to cancel the competition part. My wife, and I'm going to quote her on this, pussy move. That's what my wife said. That was what my wife said.
Well, like,
she doesn't use that language often.
I know, but I like the fact that they're like, after Sean said, it's more like the Bachelor lawyers get together and say, we don't have liability enough for this. This is too rich for our blood. Let us abandon ship and skate in circles to some bad, I'm assuming REO Speedwagon, but I forget.
I can't remember what the song was. So anyway, so they go on they move on to the evening portion of the group date.
Yes, where we see Tierra is why she gets the MVP.
Okay, well, she starts early on voicing her displeasure for group dates. Then she picks a fight with Robin, claiming that Robin attacked her later, which we'll get to, I'm sure. In the meantime, Amanda made it back and said that she was going to try and play the sympathy card for the Rose. Once again, not a bad strategy by Amanda, but poorly executed.
I feel better. I still say if you get curbed,
Yeah.
You should get the rose.
Absolutely.
Even Ames got dropped with three punches. I don't think he won the rose either for that one,
no,
did he?
No, Ames got the crap kicked out of him. I don't think he won a rose.
By CDM, if yeah. I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Nothing.
Well, so the moral of the story is, much like poor Alex Smith in the Super Bowl, if you go and see a doctor, you're not going to win anything.
Exactly.
Oh.
So then Tiara starts getting more upset, and she starts breaking down, and she does the unthinkable. She threatens to leave the show.
I'm shocked. Now, here's my prevailing thing, and I thought about this at least three different ways. Now, at first I thought if I was The Bachelor, the first person that comes up to me and threatens to leave and, like, interrupts the date, and you know that's high maintenance and people have already complained, you just drop her right there.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Good night.
But here's the thing.
You better make it through.
Two things that I ran into it, though. One, nice guys like you and I are going to try to make people feel better.
Absolutely true.
And we'll probably end up keeping their honor. We might not give them the rose, but we'll try to make them feel better. And two, I think there's something incredibly gratifying about the long con in this that the Bachelor people know. That you know that she's the person that they either nominated or through her own actions is the bad guy.
Okay. But we saw this the last time we had a Bachelor with Ben. The person playing this role, Courtney, played it all the way to the win.
I agree. And so did Vienna.
And so did Vienna. This works.
Sometimes, but we also liked
it. This has worked twice in a row.
No, Michelle Money.
Oh,
we liked
Michelle
him, sure.
Money. Yeah, that's true.
We liked it when Michelle Money didn't make it. So, yeah. I mean, yes, it's a hit or miss proposition.
Here's the thing I felt most about. Lindsay, our substitute teacher, coming on strong.
Oh, yeah.
Scores the move to the hot tub, which was a brilliant play on her part.
Yes.
Gets her in the bikini. She's looking good. They're going to go down and have a nice little makeout in the hot tub. And then, boom, she gets just torched by Tiara with tears of flames.
By the way, she is scorched earth. There is no. That's the problem when you get these people that are playing to win. They are going straight for the scorched earth policy.
So of course Sean slinks back, gets the rose, gives it to Tiara, and all hell breaks loose back there.
I agree, and I think they should have shown more of that because he alienated a lot of people. It reminded me of Ben's season when he gave the rose to, was that Blakely, or was we 2 years away from Blakely?
No, Blakely was Ben's season, but he sent Blakely home after she gave him the creepy scrapbook.
Right, but I mean, very early on, remember she was in a corner crying.
That's right, yeah. At the photo shoot for like the music video or whatever the hell they were in.
Yeah, there's a couple reasons that she won with the romper. I think it was the play. She won with the romper.
The romper, that's right.
And that was terrible. But it was also a great moment. So I feel like it's like a lot of these things are running into problems in the sense that Tiara is just taking up so much of the oxygen.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about this show. Tiara's not a good enough villain. She just is like a girl that's used to getting her way. She's more petulant than conniving.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that plays as well on TV.
Well, I don't think it played very well when Courtney was doing it, but
I feel at least Courtney's like bitchy charms were at least somewhat humorous.
She was funny.
Yeah,
Courtney
at this point,
was funny.
And she would call things as she saw them, as much as she would do it in like the worst way possible. Tiara is just very much of the, I'm used to getting what I want, and I get what I want.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm sure there's some proud father saying, that's my girl somewhere.
Oh, God. So Leslie gets a one-on-one. Leslie H., the card dealer.
Right, who I seriously believe was either a Take Me Out or The Choice, one of those summer Fox shows.
All right, well, let me ask you this. When was the last time a black contestant got a one-on-one date on The Bachelor?
It's been since you've started watching.
I've never seen it before. This was a historic moment.
It was there earlier on, I guess, but you'd have to go back a few years. It's been a long drought.
Long drought, okay. So it's every girl's dream to shop on Rodeo Drive, and they're reenacting Pretty Woman, which this always bothers me.
And we've had this discussion, and I agree that this is the worst date you could buy. Every girl wants to be a hooker with a heart of gold.
Like, why? Like, I don't understand this. Yes, Richard Gere buys her clothes because he's also paying her to have sex with him. Like, this is the insane part that nobody wraps their head around.
They don't want to, because it was love at the end. And by the way, speaking of the Pretty Woman date, she also didn't kiss on the mouth because she didn't fall in love.
Yeah, that's true.
But here's the thing. This is one of the second times, speaking of Bachelor trends, that the person who gets the Pretty Woman date gets sent home.
What was the last one?
Natalie was the last one I remember.
That's right.
They got her, and then but she got to leave the fake necklace, and then but she ended up to Bachelor Pad Glory. So I guess that's.
Yeah, so they go to Neil Lane, get an early Neil Lane plug in.
Oh, Neil's got to be able to show up. I wonder if he's contractually obligated now to show up more than once this year.
Absolutely. The necklace I said looks like something from Cleopatra's personal collection.
That's in again, I assume.
It must be.
Yeah,
I wouldn't ask. I feel
that the Bachelor is fairly good at keeping up with fashion trends, only because it's got to appeal to such a wide female audience.
Yeah, that's true. I thought he asked one of the most interesting questions, most interestingly worded questions I've heard on a date. He asked her to give him a broad outline of how you see your family being built.
That's a good question.
Kristen, my wife, I think she said something like, with lots of sex, producing children.
One baby at a time.
One baby at a time. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to answer that. So you can tell that he's not feeling it. And so
he And in his defense, like as much as you normally we can cry at The Bachelor for getting you're saying making history with the first black woman to get a one-on-one date and then they bounce her.
I know.
But I will say that she did not break every time he tried to ask her a like strong personal question to make a connection, she would deflect it and
not only kinda, was she deflected, but she didn't give very entertaining answers. Like I didn't feel like she didn't show any other real personality. Like, I could see why Sean wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Did you feel bad for Taylor?
Who was Taylor?
The music guy.
The music? Okay, that's why I said, who are those musicians?
Apparently, my wife has heard of them.
Okay. Who were they?
Taylor. I don't know. It might be Taylor and something else. I just, they talk about.
Yeah. The random musician, and then he dropped the rose from, like, the fifth
oh
floor.
Oh, my
I
God.
I love that. Still not as good as Jake throwing it into the fire. Still the all-time best throwing away a rose.
I think that, now, is there something with The Bachelor, and that was the fun part of that part of the date, when he was sitting there listening to the band, like, trying to predict how the rose is going to be dropped. Because I don't know what it is about, you can't recycle those roses.
No.
When that rose goes to that girl and they don't give it, it must be destroyed.
Absolutely.
And that to me is so preposterous, but.
Well, we get to the cocktail party. Robin delivered my favorite line of the night, asking if he wanted to taste the chocolate.
Now, here's the thing. In the previews, it made it sound like far cornier. Like she actually planned it. It was more of like an icebreaker, like cutesy question. And I thought it was good. It was much better seeing the whole thing than seeing how they edited it.
Tierra continued to show that she's crazy, and she somewhat apologized for Robin attacking her.
I like it was Tierra, Amanda, and somebody else who I forgot. That was like in some powwow that I just labeled Bitch Alley.
Yeah, it was not good. We have, Tierra says that she's being guarded. Nobody's really buying it. And Catherine, she kind of came on strong.
Catherine's
she's
a dark
really
horse.
She's really cute.
Yeah,
she's a dark horse to make the top four, I think.
Oh, I think she can go all the way.
Really?
I think she's got a bit. Here's the thing. Apparently every time they talk about it is like their instant chemistry. And since they're not going to have sex, it really takes Tierra's strongest suit out of the play. Because we saw with Vienna how you can single-handedly win The Bachelor.
Absolutely. So we get to the rose ceremony. We're sending home. Leslie got sent home, and then Amanda, she really took it on the chin this week. She gets sent home as well.
Yes, I'm glad, because Newport Beach needs its prettiest rose.
So then we're left with 11 women.
Okay.
Power pull this week, very difficult.
Yes.
I say we have a clear number one.
Ooh. I'm curious. I'm curious to see all of these things.
I think we have a clear bottom three.
Woo! It's the relegation zone.
Yeah. Okay. So our bottom three this week, I think, is pretty clear with Daniela.
You know, I got hope for her. I mean, she hasn't been on a one-on-one date. She hasn't really been on group dates.
Jackie's in the bottom three as well.
That's not even a good sign. When I'm like, oh, the red-haired girl that we like,
good-looking redhead girl.
So the two of the girls that might have potential. Now I agree, and we tell our new listeners, which I know there's new listeners tuning in every week, is that. Once, like, it's the power pole is only captured at the end of this episode.
At the end of this episode, this reflects where things are right when this episode ends.
Which, and I agree with both your assessments. As it stands right now, they both should be in the bottom two.
All right, so that says they're probably the next two going on. We've got two episodes coming up next week.
Yeah,
I
don't it's a bloodbath this week.
This next week looks unbelievable. Now, are there two rose ceremonies, or is there just so much crazy crap that happens that it has to be split into two episodes?
That is an interesting question. I'm willing to say that there's probably two rose ceremonies.
Okay. And then I would say that the next girl down after Daniela and Jackie is probably Robin.
That's sad. I wish
it is. But you're telling me who would you rank her ahead of?
You're not. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that okay. So The Bachelor and all of its push for diversity, we've gotten rid of two of the three African American contestants.
Yeah.
And Robin's one bad week away from going home.
Robin will probably be gone by next Tuesday night, according to the power poll.
So it'll take less than a month because The Bachelor started like the 15th or 16th. Yeah. Start on Martin Luther King's birthday, and they can't make it a month. I'm just saying that this is not doing their lawsuit any justice.
Well, I would say that we've had one get a one-on-one date. Robin's making it farther. Robin's not going to get cut, I don't think, on Monday. Robin might get cut Tuesday, depending on how many girls we're sending home. If we're only sending home one girl, she can make it another week. But if we're sending home two girls on any of those nights, I don't think Robin's going to make it.
We have this podcast next week. Is Robin going to still be around?
No.
Okay, see, I agree with you, though.
Okay, so then after that, okay, so those are our clear bottom three. Then I think the clear number one right now is Tierra. I think she's on top of the power pole.
Right now, I definitely agree.
She's on top of the power pole. So then that leaves this mess between 2 through 8.
Okay.
So here's where I have us currently, 2 through 8.
Okay.
All right. I moved Sarah at 8.
Sarah. Oh, okay.
Okay. Then I have Ashley at 7.
She hasn't had a lot of one-on-one time. She was very nice to Sarah.
Very nice to Sarah, okay. Then I threw Catherine up there at number 6.
I still think that's low. But she's
coming on strong.
I agree.
Okay? She had no real. She just had the one-on-one time at the cocktail party.
Where she got pulled aside to go make out with them.
Yeah,
right?
That's good. And then you know what I thought was a big mover? We didn't get to see much this week, but I thought Lindsay, the substitute, made the big move.
Oh, yeah.
She just got derailed by Tierra. She was on her way to winning that rose at the group date. And then in front of her, then we throw Selma.
Yes.
And then Dez and Leslie are in there at 2 and 3.
I feel it's a fair poll.
Yeah. So that's where it's going to be really interesting to see how this starts shaking out and to see if all of Tierra's calamities that we see in the previews really do come to fruition.
She's
already fallen down the stairs, in some sort of weird way.
She
has a bad reaction to being a polar bear.
But she like ran around there and frolicked around like it was something. I don't know.
I can't wait to see it. I really think like The Bachelor is really going big here. With having, the back-to-back Monday, Tuesday next week.
Now you've convinced me the other way that it's only going to be one rose ceremony, that there was just so much craziness.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know if that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, because it's not even like it runs up against Valentine's Day.
Sunday.
Well, I mean, it's not going to run up against Valentine's Day. I mean, I doubt The Bachelor's trying to steer clear of President's Day. Washington's birthday is too sacred for The Bachelor.
So I don't know what's going on, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week.
I agree. I'm excited.
Very excited.
We're also a little sad, though.
We are sad.
This is the end of 30 Rock's episode is on Thursday.
The 30 Rock finale coming to a head on here on Thursday. 30 Rock was a show that I came to about a season or so into it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's one of the funniest shows of the last 10 years.
It's great. The thing that I enjoy the most about it is now that it's on syndication, you can kind of swoop in and watch an episode or watch some of the best ones. I feel that when Jack Donaghy tried to teach the inner city kids baseball, I think is my favorite.
That's still one of the greatest episodes of all time.
What would Reagan do?
What biography on Winston Churchill will most help Marcus with his bunting?
Is that the one they used, Churchillian?
Yes, he goes, that was not a Churchillian performance. He also had the Dominican birth certificates because the surge was working. What Southern general was the name of the park they were playing at?
I'm sure it was like Nathan Bedford Forest.
It was like Nathan Bedford Forest Park. They pulled down a statue of it. It was a great corollary for the war in Iraq.
It was. That was an excellent episode. I try to think.
That was the episode that really sort of brought me into 30 Rock. I'm going to miss Lutz being weird. You know, all those things. Suri and her random hotness just walking through the office. Tina Fey's quest for a baby. All those things were always really funny running gags. It's sort of almost like live action Family Guy.
Yes. I feel like they do a much better job of, and where Parks and Rec could do a little bit better is their characters that kind of come in are very endearing. Even if it's Dennis Duffy or Dr. Leo Spaceman.
Dr. Leo Spaceman was good. Dennis Duffy, beeper salesman to the stars. He was
just
great.
The random character, John Hamm's character.
John Hamm was good on there. John Hamm was good on 30 Rock twice when he dressed up in blackface for the live episode last season. How amazing was that?
Just they're random characters, I feel. It wasn't just a show about Liz, Jack, and then occasionally you'd get Tracy and Jenna in there. The random people that would come in for it, they used, and I feel Community also could be better at that, where you can only use Chang so often.
I think we were talking about Community, which is coming back, I believe, next week.
The week after 30 Rock.
Yeah.
It takes 30 Rock's place.
Yeah. I would say that Parks and Rec, I think Parks and Rec is becoming like The Simpsons, where you have all these other characters that kind of come in from random from time to time, you know, whether it's, Councilman Jam, who we've seen the last couple weeks, who's been fun, or you have the guy who's the head of the local Indian tribe.
That guy's
awesome, you know. So you have like those kind of things that come in where you have sort of like this. You're building like this mini Springfield, I think, with Parks and Rec. Whereas with 30 Rock, I think 30 Rock more than anything was just a joke telling machine. They tried to be as funny as possible every episode and every scene. And I think that's something that you don't get that much anymore. The writing was so good. The acting was good. And, you know, Alec Baldwin is Jack Donaghy. I think Alec Baldwin has become Jack Donaghy.
I think so, too. I think when he runs for mayor next year, he will run as probably the liberal Jack Donaghy.
The liberal Jack Donaghy. I mean, that's a really good way of putting it. So, you know, even who was the guy that Will Arnett played on that?
Peyton Banks.
Banks, okay.
So he was amazing. It's, again, another...
another good, you know, extra character. So I think 30 Rock is a show that we will definitely miss. And I think it's also a sign that NBC is trying to appeal to a more broader base. 30 Rock appealed to a very niche audience that we were a part of.
And we're not winning out because NBC's moving up the rankings again. They're no longer the doormat of
Shows like Whitney are being watched by people.
No, Whitney's still not being watched by anybody.
Thank goodness.
They just don't. We have the same problem we were talking about with Heather Martin, was that they just have two, like, their shows. They can't fire them all.
Yeah.
So you got to bring back someone, which has been good in the sense that it's kept Community around.
Kept Community around, kept 30 Rock around, kept Parenthood around, which, by the way, if you did not watch Parenthood this season.
I'm sorry. This would be the same point where I make the same push that you should be watching Downton Abbey.
Okay, that's
If you didn't watch last week's episode, tragedy, my friend, tragedy had struck Downton.
Uh-oh. Did a maid drop a plate?
No. How dare you say it. Poor Lady Sybil, but I don't want to give it away. But it was definitely worth watching.
Okay, how about, did you watch Girls from this week?
I didn't, actually, and it wasn't because I didn't want to. It was my wife watched it before I got home.
Oh.
Because I was at your basketball game.
Well, Girls from this last Sunday, from just two nights ago, was excellent. And I think Girls is a show that's continuing to grow and get better, and that if you have access to highfalutin cable TV,
yes,
Girls is a great a show that's coming on strong, and the Game of Thrones comes back next month.
31st.
It's the 31st of March. 31st of March.
So it's season three?
Season three.
Okay, I got some work I've got to get in.
Now, last thing I want to talk about here today, Netflix has a new show coming out, House of Cards.
Yes, I saw something about that today.
And it's supposed to be sort of a remake of a British thing, but do you think this new Netflix model of television shows is going to pan out? Arrested Development's coming on?
I say Arrested Development's going to be their biggest key, because at least that has a built-in audience.
Yeah.
How about this? Maybe. It depends on if the show's any good or not. Because Starz tried this with Bosses, and that won an Academy Award. Not Academy Award.
Won an Emmy.
It won an Emmy with Kelsey Grammer, right. And nobody still watched it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess the feeling is if you put it out there, people will go and find it if it's good. You'd have to generate a lot of buzz, and sometimes you can't generate...
Kevin Spacey?
And no, I think there's definitely... But, I mean, here's the thing. When you try to market... what is going to be a viral sensation, basically, is what you're shooting for.
Right.
You're shooting for Downton Abbey, if you're looking at your model. Right. It was on PBS. I mean, there's hundreds of British shows about period pieces of, you know, rich aristocrats and poor people. For some reason, that one catches fire. And now it's a cultural thing. Now you're hoping House of Cards does that, but there's no guarantee.
Well, the other show that I want to talk about real quick here that's premiering tomorrow night on FX is The Americans.
If I knew that was available, I'd vote for it to cancel. But I was wrong about 1600 Pen.
Did you like 1600 Pen?
No, I haven't watched it. I was a little busier the last week. I'm going to give it a shot one of these days.
1600 Pen's not bad, but The Americans, it's a Cold War. All right, Reagan times. It's an 80s period piece, and it stars everybody's favorite girl, Carrie Russell.
And I'm a Carrie Russell fan, but I liked her in that Will Arnett show that went nowhere.
You were the only one that liked that show.
I was. I had hope. But I'm not. I'm sorry. I just can't. I don't think it's going to make it. I'm buying.
It's getting great reviews, and I am all in on The Americans.
So did Terriers got great reviews.
Which, by the way, have you watched Terriers?
No, it's canceled.
I know.
No one watches Terriers.
But it's really good. It just had a poor name.
Yeah, speaking of things with poor names, how's Cougartown going?
I'm enjoying Cougartown on TBS. Here's what Cougartown is, what Cougartown is. Like, it's the same show.
That's the given. Yeah, here's the thing. That's like when someone gives you a lump of coal or a relative dies.
Okay, but Cougartown, here's what you're going to get with Cougartown. You're going to get some funny off-the-cuff stuff. It's just basically, if the show was just called The Cul-de-Sac Group of Friends, it would be a much more well-received show. And instead, it's not. And it's on TBS. It's the same show it was on ABC. It's still good. It's still enjoyable. I still watch it and enjoy it. And it had a great Ron Mexico reference last week.
Did it really?
Yes, where Bobby changed his name to Ron Mexico for the week accidentally.
That's pretty amazing.
Because he thought it would be really funny to be known as Ron Mexico. Because ask the Vic family. It is fun.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, that is the end for at least us today. Hopefully after this mega bachelorette, we can get Heather Martin back into the studio. We apologize for not getting her this week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And Heather Martin's going to have a lot to bring to the table next week because we have a whole mess of things going on next week, it looks like.
I have questions for her. I have
a lot of questions for Heather Martin as well. We got to get her in here. It's going to be important.
All right, I'm Bruce Carlo.
I'm Mark Popovich. We'll see you next week in the neighborhood.